Back to Head Games. We want to thank Michael Wilbon and John Clayton for giving us some interesting perspectives on the NFL and also some of those media brouhahas like the one with Michael Strahan. In Philadelphia, my gosh, if there isn't a more concentrated media-pressured environment in Philadelphia, Allen Iverson knows a little bit about it, and so does Todd McCullough. Todd, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Tell us how the 76ers are doing and where you think they're going from here. Early in the season, it's interesting how, almost like the NFL season, teams that you expect to be up have been down. Teams that you haven't expected have been doing better.
I guess that's why you play the games. We're 5-9 right now. Definitely not where we want to be, but we're only a half game back of leading the division. So goal would be to win the division and get that three seed in the playoffs is what they'd be looking for.
So you guys have something like 2-9 or something. What's the biggest missing link for Philadelphia right now?
We're 5-9 missing link. Just consistency. We've had pretty.
I know
good,
you won your first three games, but since then you've had some issues.
Yeah, definitely. A part of the problem. Chris Webber's been out with a back injury, and that's where Stephen Hunter was out for a bit. Just not able to play consistently for 48 minutes. Allen's had some big games. He had 45 the other night against Miami and had a big game before that. So some pretty good individual performances. Kyle Korver started off shooting the ball great. He's just had less touches recently. And Andre Iguodala is great some nights and some nights not as productive.
And you've had a chance to get a look at some of the new-look teams. What about Chicago with Big Ben?
They're, you know, surprising. I was a little surprised to hear when Ben signed with them, and I thought that was really going to elevate the Bulls into, you know, elite status in the East, and I think a lot of other people felt that way as well. And so far, it hasn't happened that way, whether it's a headband issue or whether Ben's a little bit older and not quite as active. Or I know in a situation like Detroit, when you've got so many good, talented, experienced players, even great defenders like Ben Wallace play better within a system. So I'm not sure if Chicago is putting too much pressure on Ben, and we had that a little bit in Philadelphia where guys would kind of let guys go and then depend on Theo Ratliff or some of our shot blockers to take care of it. So I'm a little surprised at Chicago not taking care of business.
Talking with Tom McCullough from the 76ers, the color man, and boy, it has to be tough on you personally because you're traveling every couple days around the NBA. Let me ask you this. I asked you this a week ago in person. Why doesn't the NBA have, sort of like baseball, have a series where they have 2 and 3 games? It would take a little pressure off the players in terms of constantly being in the air. I mean, it's one thing when you're 5'8". It's another thing when you're 7 feet tall and you're cramming into an airplane. Why doesn't the NBA do that? Then it builds a sense of the sort of heightened awareness, the big event culture that sports is becoming.
No, it's certainly a valid point. I mean, it's kind of strange when you go to L.A. and you play the Clippers at Staples Center, and then it'll be a few months before you come back and play the Lakers in the exact same building. And so logistically, it seems strange. And I don't know if it's just an event and they want to make it, you know, one game where you go and market the stars of each team, and people don't want to come and see those people right away. They want to see fresh new faces. I don't know if it's attention span of a sport fan these days, but in terms of the travel, even though we do take a lot of trips and we don't do like baseball where we play series, the charter planes are quite comfortable, so it's not like we're crammed into a tiny little airplane. So they do take care of the guys in terms of comfort, so they make it as good as possible. And you make a good argument. I just haven't. I don't know if things are ever going to change the way that the scheduling is done.
I think it would be better for the NBA, and not to say that David Stern isn't a master marketer, but that's just one suggestion. If you eliminate one road trip, just because instead of playing one game, you're playing two or three, one road trip every couple of weeks, that's got to help the players and maybe the caliber of play, and also just the focus on particular teams, particular matchups. And that's where I think the fun is, when it's mano a mano and you look at the matchups of a team. Let's look at some teams that are doing well that are a little bit surprising. We talked with Rick Bucher from ESPN the magazine yesterday about Grant Hill and how he could have taken a television career, how he could have taken the easy way out. Here's Rick Bucher.
You look at Grant Hill, he gets paid no matter what. And the arduous effort that he had to make to come back, not to be a superstar anymore, but simply to be a functional player, a contributing player, really reflects the love for the game. It's easy for all of us to say, well, you know what, he should play hard, he should train to get back from injuries, because look at all the money he's making. The reality is, if you talk, I mean, how many people who win the lottery, essentially, they quit their job or they decide, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. Well, Grant Hill is the type of guy who essentially won the lottery, had absolutely no reason to continue working, and he did it strictly, worked his way through the type of injuries that a lot of us would never dream of trying to come back and play on the NBA level through. He did exactly that, and so for all of the success stories that you might find in the NBA, for me, a guy like Grant Hill, who has persevered simply to come back and play and contribute, not necessarily win a ring. I don't know that Orlando's going to do that, but simply to come back and play and on some level earn his money, to me, that's as admirable as it gets.
Tom McCullough, who is the Grant Hill, if you will, on the Philadelphia 76ers?
I gotta go with Kyle Korver, somebody that just loves to play. And when the new balls that were issued by David Stern, I think everyone was given one, and Kyle Korver kind of took that to heart. He worked out every day with that ball, just getting the touch, getting the feel. As a 3-point shooter, little change like that could really throw you off. But I think he loves to play basketball and wants to win and does the little things that he can help this team. And he's been, at one point, he was the leading scorer off the bench in the NBA and was a big part of the Sixers jumping out to a 3-0 lead. And I think we're something like 12-2 when Kyle Korver scores over 20 points. So when he does well, we do well.
What does the team do? Because, you know, we've talked with Vinny Del Negro. You get a sense of what the criteria are that the team uses to evaluate talent and the intangibles. What are the 76ers doing to look for that kind of commitment, that kind of intense family that we began this show talking about that gives the team the edge even when things are down, you know, they have that character?
Well, they're obviously doing everything they can, watching every game, taking it to practice every day. They just decided to send Lewis Williams and Bobby Jones to the developmental league to get them some game time experience, because there's nothing like being thrown into the fire. So you're making moves as best you can. You're kind of stuck with contracts and with players. There's not a whole lot you can do. I mean, obviously you can make trades, but you want to evaluate what you have and think, what can I do to make this basketball team better with the guys that we have, or to make moves. And so they're very involved in trying to get the most out of this basketball team within the limitations that they have.
Todd, I've watched the Suns, and I am just in love with their new brand, you know, this running offensive style, and Rick Bucher agrees that maybe surprisingly the offensive side of the game has become more important, and that teams are looking for guys that are more mobile, shorter players as well. Is that part of the problem with Ben Wallace, that he's part of an older culture and that the NBA is now going towards more all-around players?
I think that affects some players. I try and imagine myself whether I'd be able to keep up in today's game if I was healthy. I don't think Ben Wallace falls into that category. I think he does fine getting up and down the floor and moving laterally and things like that. But definitely as players get older, you may see guys not being able to stay as long, but at the same time, guys like Robert Horry and guys getting close to their 40s still getting the job. But the game definitely is changing, and you're seeing a lot more players come in, whereas I think at first players felt like the European players wouldn't be able to keep up in an NBA-style basketball. And every year you see more and more Europeans with great athleticism and great height and great skills coming and making NBA rosters. There's more and more players all the time. So certainly, if guys want to make an NBA team and stay there, you got to put your track shoes on and keep up. I mean, teams have fallen in love with the style of play that Phoenix has done. Toronto's trying to be trying to do the same thing and play that up and down game. And there's a lot of teams that are going to that, but you have to still be able to stop teams. You're not going to be able to outscore them every night,
especially in the playoffs. And my criticism for the Suns is simply that they've got to have that kind of strength, especially in the playoffs, so when a guy drives the lane, they can take him down. They can rebound. They can be physical in the middle when they have to. Not all the time, but when they have to. And speaking of Orlando and Grant Hill, what about Dwight Howard and what he has done for that team? Sort of the reemergence, maybe out of the confidence he saw when he compared himself with the other members on that world team.
Dwight Howard, he's an amazing individual. He's a great guy. He's got no ego at all, and he's a man child out there, and it's just great to see his progression and his confidence. And we played them early and actually had a little bit of success against Orlando by double and triple teaming Dwight Howard, And it really bothered him that he wasn't sure exactly how to handle. I mean, we spent the whole shoot around looking at ways to stop him because, like you said, Grant Hill is a great player, not the focus of that offense with Jameer Nelson and Dwight Howard. So if we were able to stop Dwight Howard, we had a chance to win the game, which ended up working. So now Dwight Howard has gone and worked on how do I pass out of a triple team, how do I react better to the situations, and Orlando has gone on a tear. And so other teams looked at the success that we had in that situation, but Dwight Howard wants to be better in terms of reacting, and he's just so physical and so strong and has a great nose for the game. So if he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the greats.
Talking with Tom McCullough from the Philadelphia 76ers, radio man, and let's talk in our last couple minutes about the Knicks. And if you were management there, would you have hired Isaiah Thomas? I'm putting you on the spot here. I mean, just because a guy is a charismatic person, just because he's bright, just because he was one of the great players in the history of the NBA, do you think he was the right choice? It's easy to say that he wasn't, but what would you have done in that situation?
Oh, that's a tough one. I know Isaiah a little bit from a couple of training camps, and I like Isaiah a lot, and I can't answer that question. I just don't know enough about being a general manager, and I feel like he's doing the best job he can. And
well, what are the Knicks missing?
I think they're missing some leadership. It appears that way. I mean, they've got their so-called stars and Stephon Marbury and Steve Francis, and those guys don't seem to have been producing. You've got some young guys that want to play hard, similar to how the Bulls were a couple of years ago. You got great effort, you got great intensity, but bad decision making, bad shot selection. I mean, I love Nate Robinson; he's a UW guy, but you can't try and throw the ball off the ground and dunk it in a basketball game, just knowing that this is a game situation and keeping the concentration all the way through. So I think they had some serious contracts that they were kind of locked into and couldn't move, and they need a lot of things.
Okay, well, let's move on to the Celtics then. And, getting a little bit more of a feel, we've covered a lot of Southern and Western teams. What about the Celtics and how they're doing this year?
Well, they seem to be doing okay. Apparently there was a little bit of a blow-up between Wally Szczerbiak and Doc Rivers. But Paul Pierce, that's a team that's missing some things as well. I mean, Paul Pierce is their best scorer, their best rebounder, sometimes their best assist man, and they seem to be missing some of the inside presence that a lot of teams are missing. So the Celts want to play the basketball and don't end up playing for 48 minutes. So they're in the same division as us, and they're a half game back, as everybody seems to be locked at about 5-9 right now.
Talking with Tom McCullough from the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, Tom, one of the things I always think about is how rare it is to find a player who had supreme talent like a Michael Jordan or an Isaiah Thomas who can build in that culture of leadership to the other players, because they're so powerful, they're so strong in their influence on the team that the players, even though they're not playing anymore, the players on the team look to them for the leadership, and it doesn't happen from within the team. When we come back, I'm going to talk to Todd McCullough from the 76ers about more things around the NBA and some final thoughts on what's going on in the next month. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.